Well, I'd like to welcome everybody. If this is your first time watching with us, I am doing a series, and the series is on healing. It's entitled Healing, Your Gift from God. So tonight we're at part 9. And as we do this message tonight, I urge people and suggest that you go back and listen to some of the other ones, because I think you'll get a foundation, and then you can build upon that foundation. So before we go into tonight's message, let's do our declaration. We've been doing that since the first one, and I encourage you to not only speak this, but on a daily basis, you can write it down and then read it every morning, and I think it'll be a blessing to you, bring encouragement. So this is our declaration. I operate from a position of victory because I already have won. I always approach the enemy from a position of power because the power of God is in me. Now, we have three anchor scriptures, and they're all from the Passion Translation. The first one is 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace will swiftly pound Satan to a pulp under your feet, and the wonderful favor of our Lord Jesus will surround you. And then Romans 8:10-11. Now Christ lives his life in you. Folks, he's just borrowing our bodies. Now Christ lives his life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. And the last statement of our declaration, in the fellowship of being one with him is our healing. We'll be talking about that later on. Now, if you listen to the last message, number 8, the subject was about suicide. And you will recall that I covered a lot of material and I covered a lot of scriptures. So as I said at that time, you can find a lot of information on the internet, library, books, all of that's available on suicide. But our focus was on a person's personal relationship with Jesus Christ and knowing that they are loved unconditionally. Preventative maintenance is important to the soulish realm, just as it is to the physical realm. People go get an annual physical, make sure everything's doing fine, that they have their blood work done and so forth. But the same thing is important with the soulish realm. Because many do not have that relationship with Jesus, they end up disappointed with their search for love. And they look for love in all the wrong places. They're unfulfilled, and it can lead them down the wrong path when looking for happiness. Once a person knows who they are in Christ, they will be complete and whole. There's nothing or no one in the world that can fill that empty void in every human being except that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone listening tonight, anyone out there, or you know somebody who's talked about contemplating suicide, listen to that message and then please go and get help. There's a national suicide prevention hotline and the number is 988. I'm going to repeat that. The national suicide prevention hotline is 988. No one should leave here before their time, and certainly not before they have fulfilled the plans and purposes that God has for them. Amen. So always remember, Satan is the god of this world. And when someone follows the things of the world, they end up hopeless. As Christians, we not only have hope, but we have the gift of eternal life, and things only get better because we end up in heaven when all is said and done. So we just finished having here at the church, Doctors Guy and Elke Pei. They were here for the last 5 days, 6 services in 5 days. It was amazing. And on Monday night, Dr. Ilke did a great message entitled Stories We Tell Ourselves. I encourage everyone to listen to that, because that kind of message, it kind of coincides with what we talked about when we were discussing suicide. It can help anyone be delivered from believing the negative lies that the devil has told them. It'll help you stop that movie that just keeps playing over and over in your head that's about negative things and lies about yourself. Believing negative lies is exactly what the devil wants. And he wants us to do it so that eventually we take ourselves out or get discouraged, whatever. But as Christians, we know the importance of renewing our minds on the Word of God. If somebody isn't a Christian, they don't know that that's available to them. So when we do renew our mind on the Word of God, we will be changed from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. He's continually changing us as we renew our minds on the Word of God. We cast out fear and anxiety by living in His perfect love. We cast out fear and anxiety by living in His perfect love. Our emotions need to take a back seat to the Word of God. That was something Dr. Ilke said. So tonight, the topic that we are going to look at is believe. One word, believe. We will need a few messages to cover this topic because it's pretty encompassing. But it is not only vital to our healing, but to our everyday lives. And I'm going to start with going over a couple definitions. The word believe in the Greek, pisteio, I'm not going to take any credit for pronouncing anything correctly, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. And in Strong's, it's number 4100. It comes from the Greek word pistis, which means faith. It means to trust in, have faith in, be fully convinced of, acknowledge, rely on. Now the word pisteio, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, pisteio, okay, is more than credence in church doctrines or articles of faith. It expresses reliance upon and personal trust that produces obedience. And it includes submission and a positive confession of the Lordship of Jesus. Now, to believe in, when we say I believe in, means to be persuaded of the truth or existence of something or someone. So as Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ. Now, in Vines, believe is used as a noun, a verb, and an adjective, okay? It has different Greek origins. I'm going to give you four words, different Greek origins. Pistio, pistis, pistos, and patho. The different forms of believe, believed, believer, believest, believeth, believing, are used mostly in the New Testament. Now, John used believe in his gospel 99 times, where Matthew 10 times, Mark 10 times, and Luke 9. Now, one of the reasons it's used more in John is because it was used by Jesus himself. You see it a lot in the red letters. When it's used as a noun, it's the word faith or to have faith. Okay, let's go to Romans 10, 17. And it's a familiar scripture in the New King James, Romans 10, 17. And it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, that word there, faith, is the same Greek word for belief, pistis. Its chief significance is a conviction respecting God and His word and the believer's relationship to Him. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, a believer is one connected by the tie of Christian faith. Here's the question. Are you a believing believer? As Pastor Greg always says, believers believe. So believe as a verb means to be persuaded of and hence to place confidence in, to trust, reliance upon, not mere credence. Now, one of the Greek words, patho, again, not sure the pronunciation here, is also translated obey, When a man obeys God, he gives the only possible evidence that in his heart, he believes God. Let me say that again. When a man obeys God, he gives the only possible evidence that in his heart, he believes God. If you put an A in front of patho, it becomes apatho, and it means disbelieve or disobedience. Notice the connection between believe and obedience. Now, in the Amplified Bible, every time the word believe is used, it amplifies it and says, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ. So key words like faith, obey, and trust are sometimes the meaning of believe. Now, if you're born again, you were saved because you believed what is written in the Bible. You believed what God has said. Now, when you're born again, the moment you're born again, your eternal destination changed. It went from heading to hell to going to heaven. The moment you made that confession, the moment you believed, all right? The moment you believed, you were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. The moment you believed, every sin you had ever committed was forgiven and wiped away. Imagine that. Every single sin, no matter how bad, how horrible, or how small, every single sin that you ever committed was forgiven and wiped away. The moment you believed, you were made righteous in God's sight. We can go into the throne room of God anytime, day or night. That was never possible in the Old Testament. But we believed, and now we have access. The moment you believed, you became a new creation. Your dead spirit became alive, and the Holy Spirit moved in. Like I said, he's borrowing our bodies, okay? Moved into your spirit to be your teacher and your guide. He began the process of changing you into the image of God. He began that process. The moment you believed, you became royalty. You now partake of the divine nature of God, and you became a joint heir with Jesus Christ and inherited all that he has. It's amazing when you think about all that we have because we believed. When you believed, you were made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Whole, complete. And it was Friday night when we had the singles conference. It was great because they gave some interesting examples and talked about singles and singleness and being whole. And that's, if you're a Christian and you're single, you're still whole. Being married doesn't make you whole. It's your relationship with Jesus Christ. I could go on and on with a long list the rest of the night of the benefits of salvation. But think for a minute, all that and more happened in a moment simply because you believed God. Believing God is the key to life. It's the key to everything. Believing God is your first step towards wholeness and healing. It is your first step toward walking in any of the blessings provided by God. We cannot rise above our belief level of God. Now, let me explain that, okay? We cannot rise above our belief about God. If you believe that God is mean or vindictive, then you won't expect to receive good things from him. When I was growing up, my concept of God was a big dude in heaven with a fly swatter. And I always thought he was waiting for me to do something wrong so he could zap me. And I was very reticent about even believing anything. And I certainly didn't know him as love, which I later found out. So your perception of God is critical. Critical. Remember when Dr. Ilkey's message, and she said, stories we tell ourselves? If you keep playing those same movies over and over in your mind, you begin to believe them. And 99% of the time, they're not true. If those thoughts and movies that keep playing over in your mind are not spiritual, scripture-based, they're wrong. They need to go. If you think God is mad at you and you need to be punished, you certainly won't expect healing. Okay. So remember, okay, we don't rise above our belief level. I've often heard people say this, well, you know, and you ask them if they like prayer for something. I don't want to bother God with a little thing like this. He has bigger problems to solve. Then you don't see yourself as important to God. And also from that perspective, how can you ever see him as taking the time to heal you? You won't bother him with anything, and you certainly wouldn't want to bother him to heal you. Okay. So our perception of God is critical. Keep that in mind. Now, let's go to James 1, 17 and 18. I'm going to read that from a couple translations. The New King James, James 1, 17 to 18 in the New King James. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now that term, shadow of turning, implies that there is nothing that you will find wrong with God. Nothing in him that could even remotely appear to be hiding. We'll never find anything wrong with God. The more you get to know him, actually, the more you realize how beautiful and holy he is. And the more you begin to see him as love, his true character. Listen to it in the Passion. Now, remember, the series is entitled about, we're talking about this gift of healing, all right? We're talking about that in all these messages. In the Passion, every gift God gives us is good and perfect. Every gift is good and perfect. Streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. Verse 18, God was delighted to give us birth by the truth of his infallible word so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all his creation. Now notice these words. We would fulfill his chosen destiny for us. Remember, we've talked about this. He has plans and purposes for every one of us. Now, maybe you think that God doesn't care about you or know what you're going through. But this verse proves otherwise. We would fulfill his, not mine, his chosen destiny for us. The emphasis is on his. So remember two things here. He never has and never will put sickness on you because he doesn't have any to put on you. Sickness and disease comes from Satan, not from God. There is no sickness and disease in heaven. And so he is not going to slap it on you if you did something wrong or you were bad. It's not going to happen. That's not our God. Keep in mind that sin gives birth to death. But God, from his pure desires, gives us birth to bring him glory. So as we are out fulfilling his plans, his purposes, God gets the glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in the NIRV translation, the New International Reader's Version, I haven't used that, but I am using it there tonight. Every good and perfect gift is from God. This kind of gift comes down from the Father who created heavenly lights. He does not change like shadows that move. God chose to give us every new birth, or I'm sorry, God chose to give us new birth through the message of truth. So he wanted us to be the first and best of everything that he created. That's how he loves us. He wants the best for us. God loves it when we come to him with our problems. Whether they're big, little, in between, it doesn't matter. He loves it when we come to him with our problems because that shows him that we trust him. We're not trying to do all this on our own, through using by having somebody else help us or whatever. He loves it that we trust him. So it shows him that our trust is in him, and he wants us to become dependent on him for all things. We should be. The world is a total opposite. The world wants us to become independent, and that's their philosophy. Now, since we're talking about healing, listen to something Brother Hagin wrote in one of his books about the word believing. And he said it. He said, the word believe as a verb is an action word. To believe in a biblical sense means to take or grasp. To believe in a biblical sense means to take or grasp. To believe Jesus means to take him for all that the scriptures declare him to be. To believe on Jesus as Savior means to take him as your Savior. And to believe on Jesus as healer means to take him as your healer. Now follow me here, okay? A man can say, I believe in salvation, yet never be saved. He can say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, yet die and go to hell. He can say, I believe that the new birth is scriptural, yet never really possess the new birth. Now, stop and think for a minute. Satan knows scripture. He knows who Jesus is because he got whooped by him. He knows he's defeated, but he's not going to let you know that. He doesn't want you to know that. He hates Jesus, just like he hates you and I. So he, as well as many others, have knowledge about something, but they don't possess it. Let me give you an example. I can have a lot of information about a Lamborghini. Nice, fancy car. I can go ride in one. I can visit the dealership every week, but there is not one sitting in my garage. Actually, I'd prefer a Harley, but anyway, so... Lady Cecilia, if you're listening, listen up. Brother Hagin continues. He said, by the same token, you can say, I believe in divine healing because you saw someone healed or because you read a book about it. Okay? But that doesn't mean you have received your healing. You too must take Jesus as your healer. Take Jesus as your healer. I'm going to say it again. Take Jesus as your healer. So believing is an act of the will. In the biblical sense, to believe is to act on the word of God. Believe and faith. They work together. Believe and faith. The word pistis is also means faith. Faith without works is dead. So believing without works is also dead. Take his word into your heart. Take his word into your mind. Take it. Grasp it. Take Jesus as your healer. Now, I'm going to use an example. When the Pays were here, this couple exude love. I don't know of anybody that's a better hugger than Dr. Ilke. You know, I mean, she just, when she gets a hold of you and she gives you a hug, the woman towers over me, but man, you know, I just enjoyed getting that hug. Now, when she hugs you, she's imparting the love of God into you. You can either accept it or reject it. It's your choice. But she's giving it to you just as Jesus gives us healing. We have to take it. Now, it was... And, you know, when we talk about like the services here, like in terms of how things moved, they move by the Holy Ghost. And that's the same thing with us. When you get something from the Holy Ghost, obey it. When the Holy Spirit says, do something, do it. Follow through with it. Amen. So I would like to just encourage everybody that's out there listening to this, because I know people, when I saw the number of people that came up for healing, you realize that in the body of Christ, many individuals are getting beaten up by the devil. That really irritates me, gets me very angry because I hate what he's doing. I hate it when he does to anyone, but especially those in the body of Christ. So, whatever is going on in your body, the answer right now, take that healing this very minute. Take it and grasp it, hold on to it, and realize it's yours. Whether it's in your mind or in your body, take Jesus as your healer and believe that he is changing that situation instantly. It's changing. You may not see it, it doesn't matter, but it's changing the moment you've taken him as your healer. Whether slowly or instantly, it is changing. Just stay there. Stay in that presence with him. Stay in that spiritual place. Stay there with him and let him minister to you by the Holy Spirit. With your mind, see Jesus taking your sickness. See him taking your disease and sins on his body at that whipping post at the crucifixion. That is where he took our sickness and our diseases. Now, let's go to Matthew 8, 16 and 17 in the New King James, Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to read the New King James, then the NIRV, and then the Passion. In the New King James, it says, "When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He himself took." If he took our infirmities, then that means we can take our healing. Please get the revelation of that. Listen to it in the NIRV. "When evening came, many people controlled by demons were brought to Jesus. He drove out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This happened so that Isaiah the prophet had said would come true. He had said, he suffered the things we should have suffered. He took on himself the sicknesses that should have been ours." You can receive it or reject it. He took on himself the sickness and disease so that we could take the healing. Listen to it in the Passion, verse 16. "That evening, the people brought to him many who were demonized, and by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them, they were totally set free from their torment, and everyone who was sick received their healing." Everyone, totally set free, received their healing. In doing this, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. "He put on himself our weaknesses, and he carried away our diseases and made us well." Now, he took the sickness and disease and made the great exchange so we could take his healing. Take Jesus as your healer. Let's go to Romans 10. I'm going to read verses 8 to 13 in the New King James and then the Passion. Romans 10, 8 to 13. "But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now listen to the Passion. But the faith righteousness we receive speaks to us in these words of Moses. God's living message is very close to you, as close as your own heart beating in your chest, and as near as the tongue in your mouth. And what is God's living message? It is the revelation of faith for salvation, which is the message that we preach. For if you publicly declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will experience salvation. The heart that believes in him receives the gift of the righteousness of God. When we believe, remember, all the different things we get, those things happen. And then the mouth confesses, resulting in salvation, for the scriptures encourage us with these words: everyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Never. So if we want the life of God working in us and for us, we must believe what he has said. God is a good God. He is a God that brings life and not death. He is life. God is the source of all life. We saw that he created everything in the book of Genesis. We saw that in Genesis 1. Things pertaining to life came from God. Now, God's word is filled with the very life of God. Believing his word is the key to having his life working mightily in our lives. So when God says something, we can believe it. He does what he says he will do, and we can build our lives on his truths. We can move in our lives and realize that everything he's saying is for our benefit. Now let's look at pretending versus believing. Biblical faith involves a balanced perspective, okay? Believing God's word is in the face of one's circumstances, okay, while not ignoring the circumstances or pretending to think that something doesn't exist. There is a problem. It does exist, okay? Now, faith recognizes the problem and then presents it to God, acknowledging him in the face of that problem and declaring his truth and promise as the greater word or subject. When we have a problem, a circumstance, you present it to God, and then you go to the word of God, get your answer from the word of God, and you believe that versus the situation you're confronted with. All right, now, Abraham is a perfect example. He did not deny Sarah's natural condition nor his own. Both of them were beyond the age of having a child. But rather, he believed God's ability to change circumstances by calling those things that did not exist as though they did. He believed God. I mean, we call him the father of faith because of his example. Let's go to Genesis 17, and I'm going to read verses 1 to 9, and I'm going to read it in the New King James. Genesis 17, 1 to 9. In the New King James. It says, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful and will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Verse 9, and God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants, after you throughout their generations. Now, let's go to Romans 4, 16 to 25. Okay. God gives Abraham a promise. Romans 4, 16, I'm going to read it from the NIRV, New International Reader's Version. The promise is based on God's grace. The promise comes by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Okay. Now, all of Abraham's children will certainly receive the promise, and is not only for those who are ruled by the law. Those who have the same faith that Abraham had are also included. He is the father of us all. It is written, I have made you a father of many nations. That's from Genesis 17:5. God considers Abraham to be our father. The God that Abraham believed in gives life to the dead. The God that Abraham believed in gives life to the dead. Abraham's God also creates things that did not exist before. When there was no reason for hope, Abraham believed because he had hope. He became the father of many nations, exactly as God had promised. God said, that is how many children you will have. That was from Genesis 15:5. Abraham did not become weak in his faith. He did not become weak in his faith. He accepted the fact that he was past the time when he could have children. At that time, Abraham was about 100 years old. He also realized that Sarah was too old to have children. Verse 20, but Abraham kept believing in God's promise. Abraham kept believing in God's promise. Whatever you're confronted with, whatever you've been experiencing, keep believing God's promise. He became strong in his faith and he gave glory to God. He was absolutely sure that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's key. He was absolutely sure that God had the power to do what he had promised. That's why God accepted Abraham, because he believed. So his faith made him right with God. The words, God accepted Abraham's faith, when you see that, the words, quote, God accepted Abraham's faith, unquote, were written not only for Abraham, they were written also for us. We believe in the God who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. So God will accept our faith and makes us right with himself. Jesus was handed over to die for our sins, and he was raised to life in order to make us right with God. Now, we know that we are to learn from the examples in the Old Testament. And here we see that these words were written also for us. So we can learn from this. We can do the same thing that Abraham did. You and I together, okay? Same thing. If we believe as Abraham did, we too will see our prayers answered. Things will change. They'll come to pass. Now, let's differentiate for a minute here between a promise and a fact. Abraham was under the old covenant. Now, he was given a promise from God. We read that in Genesis. The promise was, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. So that was a promise from God. That promise involved a change in his body and Sarah's body, along with the son. We in the New Testament have been given everything through Jesus Christ. See if this helps you in the area of healing, okay? I'm going to talk about promise versus facts. So, Abraham operated in faith under a promise given to him by God. Now, the word promise, epangelia from the Strong's, means both a promise and the thing promised. Not only the promise, but the result. Okay, the thing promised. An announcement, it means an announcement with a special sense of promise, pledge, and offer. Epangelia tells what the promise from God is and then gives the assurance that the thing promised will be done. Now, Brother Hagin refers to this in one of his books, and it's a little booklet, What Faith Is. And he says this. He said, many people say to him, Brother Hagin, I don't understand why I haven't received my healing. I know God promised to heal me. And he would respond, God has not promised to heal you at all. Shocked? Let me say it again. He would respond, God has not promised to heal you at all. And they would reply, doesn't the word of God say himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses? And Brother Hagin would reply, no, that is not a promise. It is a statement of fact which tells us something that has already happened. Some will quote 1 Peter 2:24. Which says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Then they'll ask, Brother Hagin, doesn't that promise me healing? And he said, I have to tell them, no, that doesn't promise healing. It tells you what belongs to you. It tells you what belongs to you. Okay? The moment you believed, when you got saved, healing became yours. It belonged to you at salvation. He then said, I have learned this one thing. As soon as I can get people to quit hoping and start believing, they're healed immediately. Wow. Let me say that again. I have learned this. As soon as I can get people to quit hoping and start believing, they are healed immediately. Let's go to 2 Peter 3, verse 13 in the New King James. Winding down here. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, see, this is a promise, because a promise is looking at something in the future. It says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now, it's talking of the future. Listen, look at it in the Passion. And the Passion says, but as we wait, we trust in God's royal proclamation to be fulfilled. There are coming heavens new in quality and an earth new in quality, where righteousness will be fully at home. It's a future event. Healing was accomplished at Calvary in the once and for all crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He's not going back to the cross ever again. It was done and finished once and for all. He's never going back. So as we approach Resurrection Sunday, keep that in mind. All right. So a promise is something coming down the road. That's what Abraham had, because that's how God worked. And God provided, and the promise came true. But with Jesus, it's already done. I hope that helps you get a better understanding. Amen. So keep in mind a fact and something that already belongs to us versus a promise. When it comes to healing, we take it because it already belongs to us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that as we continue to get the revelation of your word, people continue to experience total healing and wholeness. In the name of Jesus, you gave us healing at Calvary along with everything else that we needed to live in godliness and honesty before you. Gave it all to us. It's our job to accept it or reject it. I pray, Father, that all those that have heard this message tonight will receive and take, grasp the healing that you already provided. We thank you for that, Lord. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, if you're new listening, we always conclude the service by giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I had earlier gone over the scriptures, salvation, and salvation is your key to eternity. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's all those things that become available to you through Jesus Christ. So if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I hope you'll pray this simple prayer with me right now and just say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that he was crucified, died, buried, but rose on the third day. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. Take over my life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you, Lord, that I now have eternity with you in heaven. Amen. If you pray that simple prayer with us, there's going to be information on the screen. Please contact us because we would love to reach out to you, give you some free information as you start this wonderful journey of this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can contact us by email, by the phone, or by mail. And we know that you will be truly blessed and experiencing God in the most wonderful way. We are in a time in the world when things are a mess. There's a lot of stuff going on, but in the name of Jesus, we are always victorious. He's got our backs. He's got us covered.